Verses 1 through 8, this text will reveal what the heart of a true worshiper looks like. Mary's heart gives us an insight in her deeds that she performs as to what that looks like. And so we're going to see what is required. We're going to see what true worship leads to. And we're also going to see what we might expect Jesus to react, or how he might react to our worship. So let us stand as we go to the Word of God on today. It's found in the 12th chapter of the book of John, verses 1 through 8. And it reads as such. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany with Lazarus, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment and made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always will have, but you do not always have me." The very words of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you be glorified in all that is said and done. Speak your word through this vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And so I want to talk to you today about the heart of a true worshiper. And as I said earlier, churches are full, congregations all over the world, there's worship going forth, there's praise going forth, but the question is, what attitudes are behind those worships, are behind those praise? Anyone can get up and go through the motions and sound as though they're giving God worship, but yet have a heart that's not centered around who God is. Have a mindset of saying, "I'm doing this to please other people," instead of, "I'm doing this because I love God." And so the first thing I want to do is talk about the worship, the true worship, and what it requires. True worship requires sacrifice. True worship requires sacrifice. When we look at John 12 and 3, we see something that's very interesting. It says that Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard. Now, let's stop there for a second. An expensive ointment of pure nard was something that was so expensive, it was a perfume that was imported from India. This perfume, and the fact that it was nearly a pound's worth, was equated to 1 year of salary. Now, I don't know about you, but 1 year of salary for one opportunity to offer it up to the Lord. In today's standard, it is mostly difficult to get a person to give 1/10 of his weekly or monthly salary for the kingdom of God. And here we find Mary sacrificing with a heart of worship to say, you know what, it doesn't matter how much this costs, it doesn't matter to the extent to what another person may say or think, and we'll talk about that later, I'm going to use this on the Lord. Think about where she put it. She didn't put it around his neck. When we buy our expensive cologne and perfume, I don't know, honey, I love you dearly. You know I do, but I've never seen you put perfume on your feet. Never seen that. Put it on the feet. She was on to something. She didn't quite know what it was, but she was on to something. But see, the thing we want to talk about in that sacrifice is, when we go to Luke 10:39, we see how all this came about. Mary, according to Luke 10:39, will spend time at the very feet of Jesus. Now, this was an opportunity to be able to come to know who Jesus is. Jesus will tenderly begin to teach her about the things and the ways of God. But he would also tell and teach about his demise, about how he will exit this earth. And so throughout that relationship of time, Mary would sacrifice her time because her sister was one who was busy doing other things. She could have been doing that. But she sacrificed time, just like what you're doing now, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to learn more of Jesus. You, remember I said earlier, you can't really worship what you don't know. And all the time we're spending this time in the book of John is that we may know Jesus Christ, amen, as Savior and as Lord, and that we may turn around then, begin to worship him as such, and then make him known to others as our Lord and as our Savior. And so she sacrificed her time to be with him. She sacrificed not only that, like I said before, her finances. It didn't matter to her. She understood that all I have is in Christ. My financials doesn't mean a whole lot to me because everything I have is found in Christ. When I think about the ultimate sacrifice, I think about Paul. I think about what he was willing to sacrifice. Paul, who, when he was Saul, was everything. He was all that. He was one of the big guys in the Pharisee clan. He would go about persecuting Christians. He was well-trained under Gamaliel. He was somebody in the Jewish sect. But yet, when Jesus Christ got a hold of him, true worship took effect. Because he thought he was worshiping God. He thought he was praising God by getting rid of Christians. But when the true God comes upon him, I tell you, there was nothing he can do. He said, you know what, I'm going to give in to this, even if it costs me my life. Because when we look at the ninth chapter of Acts, verse 28, we see how Paul was confronting the very same Jews that were last seen confronting Stephen. And we know what happened to Stephen. Stephen was martyred. And so Paul knew that by talking to the Hellenistic Jews, which were the Greek-speaking Jews, he knew by talking to them about who Jesus Christ was, that his very life was on the line. So I have a question for you. What are you willing to sacrifice? What have you been willing to sacrifice to display or convey your love for Jesus? We can do it in our schools. We don't have to go out and scream at the top of our roof. No, we can beg to be different from other people. We can be those peculiar people that God said we can be. What are you willing to sacrifice at work? Are you willing to say, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to do this. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go, and instead of you going to the happy hour with you, I'm going to go on lunch break, and I'm going to read the Word. That's a sacrifice. I mean, even in your finances, you may say, because I tell you, this is interesting. When I first got saved, sacrificing finances was something that wasn't in my vocabulary. I used to get like, I'm going to talk about Mr. Iscariot here. I used to get like him. Honey, you mean to tell me it takes all that? Do you really have to dab into our finances to take it to the church and give it to God? Really? I mean, really, do you have to do that? No, I didn't think you had to do all that. But I was willing to worship from a head mindset and not from the heart, whereas my wife understood worship, that it came from the attitude of the heart, and she was willing to do what it took in order to get her worship on. So what am I saying? We really don't want to let anything come between our worship and our God. Because sacrifice may be just the first step in our worship, but there should be a progression in our worship as it relating to expressing true worship. And as we see here in my second point, that true worship is expressed through devotion. Expressed through devotion. Again, in John chapter 12, verse 3, we see that once Mary came and took the ointment out, and see what she did, what was the first thing that happened? The first thing that happened was she was going against status quo, right? Because Judas Iscariot wanted to revile her, wanted to get on, wanted to talk bad about her for doing what she's doing. But she wasn't going to let that stop and get in the way. She was saying, she didn't even pay any attention to what he was doing. So in other words, when we are worshiping God, and there's some people around us who may think that what we're doing is not the right thing, or may not be, in our eyes, because we're speaking from a carnal standpoint, worthy of that worship, but that person who's actually worshiping from his heart, who worshiping with the right attitude, that person is worshiping based on their relationship with Jesus and based on the knowledge of the Word of God. So if I don't have a relationship with Jesus or the knowledge of God, there's no way I can tell you how to worship. There's no way I can tell you what's right and what's not right. But if I have a mindset where I want to go in and do what I want to do, as Judas did, he had his own hidden agenda. He was a thief who stole the money, but he's also the one who was going to do what? Betray Jesus in the end. And in Luke 10:39, as I said before, Mary had a knowledge of who Jesus was. Sitting at his feet, she understood who he was. By Mary anointing Jesus' feet with her hair, again, never seen a woman put any perfume on her feet of a man, on even her own feet, but let alone wipe it with her hair. We're talking about hair with oil, hair with perfume. Fast forward 2,000 years, that's still not going to happen. All I know is my wife, I love her dearly, but she's not going to take her hair and wipe any oil off of my feet or my shoulders or any part of my body because her hair is not made for oil. Amen? And so, but this tells us the devotional process that's taking place from Mary's heart. Mary's saying, this is coming out of my heart. There's no standardization of what we may see or think that comes from other people. This is what's coming from the right attitude of me. I love Jesus. I love him so much so that I'm willing to sacrifice all that I have to worship him. I'm willing to sacrifice everything that I'm known to be about to worship him. Because in Luke also, we find that Judas was not the only one who said anything about this. There were the other disciples that were saying same things. But we also know that this was more of the dinner was not just a private dinner. It was just Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. There were other people there along with the disciples. So that lets me know there was more men who were there. And the fact that she would come and use her hair and pour out ointment on Jesus' feet and use her hair to wipe it, she had to really go against some serious odds because she was looked upon in a negative light for doing so. Because it tells us me one thing, that she wasn't married. Because if she was married, her husband probably would intervene. But they're thinking, it don't take all that. It don't take all that to do what you're doing. But if you love Jesus and you understand the Word of God, you understand that it takes all that and much more. You understand that it takes more than just me to be able to just stroll into a church house when it's 1 minute to go before we start or 5 minutes after we start. You understand that it takes more to me to go to when I go inside the church house and the Lord's God asks me what gifts and talents am I going to use for it to enhance the kingdom of God. We wouldn't think twice about it. We would say, God, I'm going to worship you with the gifts and talents that you've given me. God, I'm going to worship you in a spirit of obedience. Whatever you ask of me to do, God, I'm going to do just that. I'm not going to come with a spirit of rebellion because, remember, true worship is about the attitude of the heart. Also, the revealed Word of God as it relates to who Jesus is, while Jesus is what? Showing us who the Father is. And so when my heart is right, then I begin to have some change taking place inside of me. And when my worship is lined up with my heart, I'm on to something big. So Paul was willing to sacrifice his life. There's nothing but life inside of here today. How much of my life, I often ask myself, am I willing to sacrifice in my worship for God? Am I willing to sacrifice time? Am I willing to sacrifice my talents? Am I willing to sacrifice my treasures? Am I willing to just sacrifice it all for God? And then I have to ask myself, how has the progression of my sacrifice or my worship been towards the worship of Jesus Christ? Has there been any progression? Am I worshiping Jesus in a progressive way from the time I came into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ 20 years ago versus today? Or is it the same? Do I still have the same mindset? I'm just going to go in there, sit down, and hear a word. Don't let the word work on me to have a transformed heart and just go out the door and let life still be the same. Or am I going to let this word really work on my heart? Because God says the time is coming. In fact, the time is here where those who worship me in spirit and in truth. Will worship me with the right heart attitude, will worship me with the truth concerning the Word of God. That's how he's going to worship me. He's not going to worship me with any dogma, not going to worship me with anything you think you heard. No, it's going to worship me based on our relationship. So that kind of messed me up from a long time ago. So now that we have the Lord's attention with our sacrificing and devotion, the question is, how does Jesus react to our worship? Have you ever thought about that? How does he react to my worship? God, I'm worshiping you. I'm sacrificing my devotion. I spend time in my devotions in the morning time. Every chance I get, I try to meditate on your word. So, you want to know then, Jesus, how do you respond to that? Am I just doing it because I love you and that's it? That'd be great in itself. But God is so awesome, he responds. Let's look at the scriptures. He responds. On John 12 and 7, Jesus responded for Mary by intervening on her behalf. When Judas Iscariot, when he said that, why is this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? What did Jesus say? Leave her alone. When has you remember Jesus telling someone to leave you alone as you worship? Leave my child alone. You have no idea what my child is doing. My child is bringing glory to the kingdom of God by worshiping me. Leave her alone. He says that so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. In other words, she's going to keep this to the day to where I'm buried. But I'll tell you some good stuff there. Because Jesus was about to die a sacrificial death. Amen, right? But it was going to be made to look like he was the criminal of all criminals. Because he was going to be sacrificed on the cross, that means he was going to be dying, according to the public eye, as a shameful person who blasphemed against God. But God is so awesome. God said, I'm going to let my son be sacrificed, but he's not going to go out the way you think he's going to go out. Because burial preparations was not something usually for those who were condemned. And that's God's way of saying, even though you're going to crucify my son, he's not going to go out in the way that all the other ones go out. He's going to get a preparation before he dies. That's good stuff. To know that my God responds to worship. Jesus responded in Matthew 26 and 13 in a particular way. He said that her name will be forever remembered wherever the gospel is preached. That is all, God, really? You got to be kidding me. Somebody told me, and I believe it was my Jehovah's Witness associates, they told me that the Bible has errors in it. Well, if it has errors, I must agree with one thing, that it's a consistent error. Because 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus said that Mary's name will be mentioned everywhere the gospel is preached. 2014, we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet I can't talk about it without mentioning Mary's name. So in essence, what was Mary doing with the perfume? She was worshiping, amen? Worshiping God from the right attitude of heart. But when she poured out that oil and put it on the feet of Jesus, the Bible says that the room filled with great aroma, saving aroma. The same way in the Old Testament, when the sacrifice offering was burnt up to God and God's nostrils would light up and, oh, what a great sacrifice. Until this day, everywhere where the gospel is preached, that same aroma is filling the rooms. Even as we sit here now, all over the world, that same sweet aroma of that oil. Question for you is, what are you doing with your oil? Mary wasn't the only one with an alabaster jar. All of us have been given one. Yes, some of us are holding it for the right moment. I got that. But some of us has been told to open that oil now and pour it at the feet of Jesus. What are you doing with your oil? In other words, how are you stepping up? How is worship working for you? Better yet, how's that attitude? Do I have the attitude of worship? Do I really? And I wonder why Jesus doesn't respond. Because he does respond. As we go further, we find that Jesus' response to worship and prayers are Cornelius. Cornelius wasn't even saved yet, but he knew who God was. He knew from hearing the word, and he knew who God was, and yet he would worship every day. And God honored his worship by seeing to it that not only him, but his whole household got saved. That's the power of worship. Worship is so awesome and so powerful. And we also see how God responded to David's worship. David's such an awesome man after God's own heart. I remember in 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 to 16, how David was so excited about the Ark of God coming to the city of David. But something happened along the way. A gentleman by the name of Uzziah? Was it Obed? I thought it was Uzziah. I can't pronounce his name. But bless, as my mother-in-law would say, bless his heart. He gets too excited, and he goes and touches the ark as it's coming down to town, and he goes and touches it. His heart, now remember, his attitude is not in the right place. And the Bible says he gets stricken down and dies. Heart got to be in the right place. And from that, David says, oh, no, we're not going to let the ark come to town right now. We're going to let it go to the next town. Okay, it's going to go to the next town over. And the Bible said it stayed there 3 months. And then within those 3 months, word got back that God was blessing those people so much that David says, it's now time for the Ark of God to come here. And so as the procession came with the Ark of God, we see that David saw that coming, and David got so excited that David got out of his royal clothes, his kingdom clothes, and put on like priestly clothes. And David started shaking and dancing so much and praising God and worshiping God so much that he took off some of his clothes. But then there was a hater who didn't understand what worship was all about. Had the wrong attitude towards God and the wrong attitude towards David. This woman was his wife, the daughter of Saul, Micah. She had the wrong attitude. She starts chastising David for doing what he was doing. David, don't take all that. It don't take you going to church. It doesn't take you worshiping. It doesn't take you praising. It doesn't take you studying the Word of God. It doesn't take you offering a hand of volunteerism. It doesn't take you going to connection group every Thursday night, every Wednesday night, whatever night that may be. It doesn't take you growing in God that you may, Mr. Wayne, teach your children the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't regress from it. It doesn't take all that. David says, nothing. But God said it all. He made sure she didn't have any children. The Bible says she was barren. That was pretty interesting when you think about it. She was Saul's daughter. So if she has a child by David and Jesus comes through the lineage of David, then that means we trace Jesus back to Saul. Not Saul who became Paul, but Saul the first king of Israel. God said, no, we ain't having that. So they didn't have any children. But God responds to our worship. God is so awesome. God also, when we read John chapter 9, verse 31, he responds to anyone who worships him. Remember the blind man said that God says he responds to anyone who worships him. Anyone with the right heart attitude, anyone who knows him, anyone who knows his word, because those are the only ones that's going to worship him. Not one that doesn't know him, not one that doesn't know his word, not one that doesn't understand that if my word abide in you and you in me, that you should ask whatever you wish and it shall be granted unto you. You have to know that. It's in his word. It's all about the right relationship. The heart of a true worshiper. And so we understand it's sacrificial. There's a progression that's expressed through our devotion. And we understand that Jesus Christ responds to our worship. He's not the type of God that's just going to sit there and look like this and do like this. And remember that movie from the Warriors, the one that Shaquille O'Neal always wanted to act out when the Lakers won the championship, when he stood up and held his hands up like this and he said those famous words, can you dig it? Can you dig it? In other words, this gang leader from the movie scene, The Warriors, he saw all these gang members out there, their numbers in the thousands, and he had said something to them that looked like they were unified. He thought that they were there, and he figured, hey, I'm going to take this opportunity and let them worship me. Well, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus responds in a practical and a real way. Jesus is a personal God. He's not some fictional God that's just way out there. No, Jesus is real. He's the Savior of the world. He's the lily of the valley. You go down there, you'll see him. He's the lily of the valley. You look up, you're going to see the bright morning star. You wonder who he is, you say, oh, he's the great I am. You need any help? He's your wonderful counselor. Nobody seems to understand me. Cast all my cares for me, for I cared for you. You may have come in here with cares. You may have come in here with concerns. But the Jesus that we're talking about worshiping, he's concerned. God, I'm in trouble. I'm your refuge. I'm your strength. I'm your very present help in the time of your trouble. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. God, but you know what? Michael, you don't understand. I'm going through a desolate time in my life. It's like I'm going through the desert and the sun is beaming down on me. I'm your pillar of cloud by day. I can block out that sun. I can comfort you from the heat of that sun. I can comfort you, in other words, from the heat that comes around you that looks to consume you. But when I say move, I want you to move. Because I'm the cloud, I'm going to move to the ark of safety. But someone may say, you know what? I'm in that same desert, but But it's the middle of the night. And I'm cold. Why? Because I have nothing but coldness around me. Nothing but cold in-laws. Nothing but cold children. Nothing but a cold husband or a cold wife. Jesus says, don't worry about it. I am your pillar of fire by night. I'm the one that's going to bring heat and comfort to your very soul. I'm the one that's going to bring you light, illumination to the things that you do see and the things that you don't see. So, wow. Is that someone worth worshiping? Is that someone worth bowing down to? Is that someone worth getting an extended hand and kissing and saying, I adore you? I'm a long way to go. I still can't get to the 10,000 reasons. But the very few that I aforementioned here is enough to worship him. It's enough to praise him. It's even enough to say, I today want to make you my Lord. Because I want to know what it's like when you respond to my situation and or my cause. That's an awesome thing to have. In my conclusion, I want you to go with this. To develop a heart for God that expresses that in our living, in our giving, to trust Jesus and to serve him with our whole being, with everything that is about us, our body, our heart, and our soul. We want to get to a point to where we trust Jesus with everything that we have. Bowed heads. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to go forth in your word. Lord, I pray that someone here at the sound of my voice who may not know you and the pardon of their sins would say, Jesus, I declare that you are the Son of God, that you are the risen Christ, and I know that you came to take away the sins of the earth. God, I present myself to you as a sinner. And I pray right now that you would save me, that you would heal me, that you would wash me in your blood and make me anew. I pray that right now, Lord, as I confess who I am, because you said that if I confess my sins, you are just to forgive me of them all. In Jesus' name, amen. So at the sound of my voice, you've heard what the heart of a true worshiper is. The call. It tells us that the human.